I'm going to teach on this subject this morning, technology and the increase in violence. Technology and the increase in violence. Psalms chapter number 11. And by the way, we're not just going to do a study based on a bunch of newspaper articles. I promise you, you're going to get a Bible lesson this morning, a Bible lesson. I'm really more interested in what the Bible says about violence than I am probably any of these reports, although it's amazing how many of these reports support exactly what the Bible says. Psalms 11, if you look in verse number 5, the Bible says, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." Now, I'm going to take you to several verses. We're just going to walk through this. The reason I want you to read these verses with me is you're going to be convinced by the time we get done that there is a scriptural support for a direct link between wickedness and violence, which simply means this: the more wicked that the world gets, the more violent it's going to become. The Bible says in this verse, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." And interesting that those two are bedfellows, the wicked and him that loveth violence. Psalms 58, if you go over to Psalms chapter 58 and verse number 2, Psalms 58 and verse number 2. Read 1 and 2. "Do you indeed," Psalms 58, "do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do you judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth." And interesting, again, wickedness is connected with violence. Psalm 73, verse number 6. Psalm 73 and verse number 6. Bible says, "Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment." Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. You look in verse number 17. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 17. "For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." Isn't that interesting? They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. And verse number 11. Proverbs 10 and verse number 11. "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." And if you look at chapter 10, verse number 6, "Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." Did I read that one or verse 11? Which one did I do? They're the same. "The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." And then if you, let me just read the rest of them. Isaiah 59, 6, "Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works, for their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands." Jeremiah 6, 7, "As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds." Ezekiel 7, 23, "Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence." Isaiah 48, 22, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." Isaiah 57, 21, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Jeremiah 6, 14, "They have healed also the hurt of thy daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Now, there's a direct Bible connection between, if you do a word study on the word violence, one of the things that you'll come away from is this correlation, direct link between the idea of wickedness and violence. I'll read a couple of news stories here for you. Since at least the Columbine school shootings in 1999, when both researchers and media speculated that Harris and Dylan Klebold went on a killing spree because they were denied access to violent computer games, We have been studying and arguing about whether violent video games create violent urges in players. In 2013, American Psychological Association, APA, announced the creation of the Task Force on Violent Media. The seven-member task force was charged with conducting a media analysis or review of existing literature to determine whether video games violence can and does lead to real-world violence. The task force released its findings last Thursday. It found a consistent relationship between violent game use and aggressive behavior. It said in a statement, "While there is some variation among the individual studies, a strong and consistent general pattern has emerged from many years of research that provides confidence in our general conclusions," wrote Mark Applebaum, chair of the task force. Based on its findings, the APA drafted a resolution at its August 7th meeting in Toronto, encouraging the Entertainment Software Rating Board to refine its video game rating system to reflect the levels and characteristics of violence in games. The APA also called on video game developers to design games that are appropriate to users' age and psychological development. All right, then this story out of Time magazine reported in a report published August 13th, APA Task Force reviewed more than 100 studies on violent video game use published between 2005 and 2013. They concluded that playing video games can increase aggressive behavior and thoughts while lessening empathy and sensitivity towards aggression. The task force also concluded that although some studies suggest links to criminal violence and neurological changes, there wasn't enough evidence to determine a connection. Scientists have investigated the use of violent video games for more than two decades, but to date, there's a very limited research addressing whether violent video games can cause people to commit acts of criminal violence. However, the link between violence and video games and increased aggression in players is one of the most studied and best established in the field. Now, if you study this thing out, let me tell you what you'll also read, and if you can Google the same things that I'm Googling, you can take a look at it. There's nothing that the Hollywood industry is attacking more than the studies connecting violence with violent movies, violence with violent games. You know why? Because the love of money is the root of all evil. Besides that, it just doesn't fit their political agenda. You see, they don't want us to look at the violence that's happening that just happened in Las Vegas and say what we need to do is curtail Hollywood or curtail the game industry. What they want to use it for is their political agenda and try to take away our guns and disarm America. So they're not open to these type of studies. And if you read it, you'll find out that again and again and again, the Hollywood industry is dead set against the conclusion. They've attacked, imagine this, the American Psychological Association, which is not a Christian organization, is being attacked by Hollywood and attacked by the game industry. Some of them even calling their conclusions bogus science just because it's hurting their pocketbook. Now, folks, listen to me. Aren't you glad that you're from rural America? Aren't you glad that you still have some old-fashioned country common sense? I wouldn't have to have the American Psychological Association or anybody else tell me that if you consistently watch and or participate in violence that's produced by technology, that it's at some point going to change you mentally and, more important, damage you spiritually. I mean, I'm kind of blowing the trumpet on this. Let me tell you what I found out as far as from a preacher. Back in the 1970s, before technology advanced, and I would say even 70s on back, man alive, a preacher would come in and he'd preach a message on the horrors of hell, and every young person in that place would quake. Every adult would sit there horrified. And let me tell you what's happening. One of the reasons that the devil's advancing what he has. You know what, folks? You can't scare kids anymore. They've been so desensitized to anything that's scary because of this. All of the demonic horror movies that have come out. I mean, you know what? Hell's not scary enough for them. Hell's PG. I'm just telling you the truth. Hell's PG. And young people have watched so much violence on the TV set. And again, when they are actually interacting and they, in a virtual reality situation, become that person that's committing the violence, I don't need anybody to tell me that that's going to do something that's not right to the mind of a Christian young person or a non-Christian young person. And you know what, folks, just as, you know, they want to tell me that pornography doesn't lead to sexual abuse. And they're going to tell me that video violence doesn't cross the lines over to aggressive behavior. I mean, you know, I think some things just ought to be obvious. And so I appreciate the fact that these studies exist. But again, I can go back to the Bible and say, you know what, the more wicked the world gets, the more violence is going to come out of that wickedness, because wickedness doesn't care about anybody but yourself. Wickedness doesn't care about other people, doesn't care whether or not other people get hurt. You know, folks, in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. And you know what? As long as I'm happy and as long as I feel good and as long as I'm superior, I'll hurt anybody I want to get what I want. That is the heartbeat of America right now, and that's the direction we're going. Now, I'm just going to kind of finish this out, but just as the scripture supports a direct link between wickedness and violence, the Bible also supports a direct link between righteousness and peace. Now, that's wonderful, isn't it? In Psalms 42:3, the mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. Psalms 85:10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Isaiah 32:17, in the work of the righteous, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. That's the kind of America I want. I want one of peace. I want one of quietness. I want one of assurance. You know what? I'd like to be able to still walk our small town streets at night and not have to worry about violence and what's going to happen to you, you know. Isaiah 48:18, oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Righteousness and peace, righteousness and peace. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. James 3:18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, folks, listen to me. There's no doubt that when America was more righteous, when America was more Christian, we had more peace and less violence. In every single part of America where there has been an increase in wickedness, there has been an increase in violence. And so now we have technology. I'm bringing this all together. Now all of a sudden we have the avenue of technology. And I'm going to tell you, I can't control what everybody does, but parents, you need to control what's going on in your homes. And even some of you young men that are being raised up with this stuff, we've got some young men, adult men. You know, I'm going to tell you, let me just say it out loud. It's causing marriage problems. I've got wives that have come to me and my wife and saying, I can't get my husband off the video games. He's not spending time with our children because he's playing video games. We haven't had a conversation in weeks because he comes in and the first thing he does is go over and play with his video games. Now listen to me. I've heard all the arguments. Well, different people do different things to relax, and this is what I do to relax. If what you're doing to relax involves you walking through a street with a gun and blowing people's heads off, then you have a warped view of what relaxation is. Listen, if you're participating in violence in order to relax, then I'm scared for you. Okay? Well, I got to watch a certain movie because it makes me relax. If watching a violent movie brings you relaxation, I'm scared for you. Because see, folks, righteousness always produces peace. Okay? Wickedness produces violence. And we have an America that's become violence junkies. And by the way, those same movies that have all the violence, let's sit down with the preacher and watch it together, and let's figure out how much wickedness is hooked up to the violence. Okay, these video games, let's sit down together and let me see how the people in it are dressed and what they're saying. And by the way, parents, you've got to be careful. When you've got young people, they're coming to you saying, well, this isn't a bad game. This isn't a bad game. This isn't a bad game. If it's marked that it is a bad game, and most of the time, even if it's marked that it's not a bad game, there's different things on that game, different secret doors and secret levels that these kids are being opened up to. And listen to me, it's not healthy. It's not healthy for you as a young man. And I say this to young men because young men seems to have this addiction problem. Get off the video games. Get off the video games. Get off the video games, okay? Get off the video games. All right? Please tell me that there's something more important you could be doing with your time than playing video games, okay? How about reading a book? How about sitting down and talking to your wife? How about getting a board game out and playing with your children? Okay? How about that little remodel project that you promised her at the beginning of the year you were going to get to? Okay? All right, I've crossed the line. Man, I feel like I'm turning on my brothers in Christ right now, man. Listen, folks, there's way too much time by Christian. I can't control what the world does. I know the devil's got the world. But Christians are absolutely, and I don't know all the different letters on the stuff, but when you're taking men and putting them in cages and watching them beat each other senseless, yeah, and that's entertainment, something's wrong. Okay, something's wrong. Are you listening to me? Yeah, I mean, if that gets you hyped up, that's entertainment, something's wrong. Listen, the more wicked our country has gotten, the more violent it has gotten, and it's supported by Scripture. Righteousness makes you want to have peace. Wickedness produces violence. Why do we have the level of violence that we have in inner city America? I've ministered in inner city America. You know why there's increased violence in inner city America? There's increased wickedness in inner city America. Do you know why rural America has been spared a measure of that? Because of pulpits in rural America that keep preaching what I'm preaching today. By the way, don't leave me up here by myself. All right? I'm telling you, it's affecting your mind. Neurological changes in your brain is occurring. Okay? I mean, you know what, folks? We have studies of our soldiers that have come back from these wars, that for America and defense of America has had to do some things that they would not want to do and not normally do. And let me tell you something, that comes back with them. It hurts them, it harms them, it changes them. By the way, they're heroes. I understand that sometimes in order to have peace, you've got to have war. I get that. But talk to those men that were involved in it. By the way, they don't want to play video games. And they're the last ones that want to sit down and watch war movies. They don't want to be reminded of it. You know, it's changed them. It's hurt them. Now, listen, by God's grace, they can get help. But I'm just saying, let's be really careful. Now, we see an increase in violence. I just want to give you this real quick thought because I'm going to give you, a Bible study. The Scripture supports a direct link between wickedness and violence. The Scripture supports a direct link between righteousness and peace. The increase in violence is, if there's any good news, an indicator of the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. What if I told you that that was one of the signs of the times? Matthew 24, if you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 24, I'll have you look at it. It's good to see this. I want you involved in looking at some of the scriptures. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 36, Matthew chapter 24 And verse number 36, Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. Say, preacher, where's the violence? Well, the Bible says, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, which means we better go back to Genesis. Let's go there, chapter number 6. Let's take a look at one of the character traits of the days of Noah, one of the indicators of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter number 6. If you look in verse number 8, Genesis chapter number 6, and verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God, begat three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, filled with it. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth, here it is again, is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And again, isn't it interesting that the earth had gotten to a point of such wickedness? We can look at it, verse number 5. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And what did that wickedness produce? It filled the earth with violence, filled it with violence. And it is an indicator of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to take the balance of our time and talk to you about some real practical things. Okay, preacher, we need to take a look at it in our own home. I get that in my involvement in it. But in this age of increased violence, what's some things that we can do? Because there's no doubt, folks, in the days ahead, this violence that we see in the inner city because of the level of wickedness, that same wickedness is coming into rural America. Okay, listen to me. I'm driving down. This is wickedness, by the way. I'm driving down 2 weeks ago, coming down the main street of Linton, 54 there. I pass Wendy's, and I'm coming on down. Subway's on the right. Then you get to the stoplight, which is the main street intersection. You know where I'm at. And I look over on the right-hand side, and there's a young lady walking with a young man, and the young man is wearing a skirt. Not a kilt, a skirt. Not that I think a kilt's okay. A skirt. A skirt. Looks like he borrowed them from one of our girls. I mean, it was at least a modest skirt. I will give him that. It went down to his knee. It was A-line even. I think he would have been all right past dress check, but thank God for that. I wouldn't have wanted to see him in a mini skirt, but a skirt. I mentioned this to Brother Castle, and Brother Jacobson was there when we were doing the radio thing, and Matt says there's 4 or 5 different guys in Linton on a regular basis now walking the streets, purposely walking the streets in women's clothes. Okay, but what I'm saying is it's coming to small town America. Wickedness is coming. Okay, we've got businesses that are owned and run by open participating sodomites right in Linton, Indiana. Okay, they're not ashamed of it. They proclaim it. And by the way, I do not understand any born-again Christian doing business at these places. And yet they are. They are. I've had 2 different people tell me, I go to that coffee place. They just got such good coffee, though. Yeah, if you'll sell out for a cup of coffee. And by the way, not people that go to our church, but people that go to independent fundamental Baptist. I had an independent fundamental Baptist pastor told me about the pizza place. He said, man, I know it's probably terrible, but man, they got good pizza. Independent fundamental Baptist preacher. I said, do you realize that that man that owns that was across the street from my church in a dress and high heels picketing our church? And you'd still go by. Folks, listen to me. We have no convictions at all left. I'm not talking about, you know, a liberal pastor. I'm talking about someone who's an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. And Brad, I rebuked him. I said, let me tell you something. If something like that happened to your church, I would never support those people again. And you're sneaking over there buying pizza from them? I told him, I said, shame on you. Folks, we can't win it because we'll compromise over anything. Well, what I'm saying is the more wickedness that you're seeing coming into small town America, the more violence you're going to find is happening in small town America. And it is. Read the papers. There's more sexual assaults. There's more sexual abuse. There's more violence of all kinds starting to come into small town America. So, preacher, what can we do about it? The Bible says part of the end times, it's going to continue to increase the wickedness. The violence is going to follow. What do we do as Christians? First of all, let me just give you the first place thing you got to do is trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. 2 Samuel 22:3, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. Thou savest me from violence. Proverbs 21:31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Now listen, I'm going to give you some practical things to do, but I want you to understand, first of all, that the basis of our safety and our family's safety and our wife's safety and our children's safety ultimately has to rest in the Lord and trusting in him, because God is a shield and God is a rock and God is the horn of our salvation, a high tower, our refuge, our savior. And the Bible says, thou savest me from violence. And first of all, you've got to just trust in the Lord. Listen, folks, this was back in the late 70s, early 80s. But, you know, I went into inner city Chicago. We were there after dark. We did that. I did that for years in an area. I mean, one stretch on my bus route one spring, by the way. I don't know how, you know, whether you understand it or not, but wintertime, kind of everybody shoves everybody inside. Okay, springtime when that weather breaks, you know how everybody just wants to get out and do. Well, the problem with inner city Chicago is that it's almost like a powder keg. All of that being indoors and stuck indoors, when all of a sudden they get out, they come out, and there's just a tendency for a lot of violence. 6 weeks in a row, I walked to 6 different places on my 5x4 block bus route where somebody was murdered. The next Saturday, walked to a different spot. Somebody died right there. Next Saturday, walked to a different block. Somebody died right there. Somebody died. Say, preacher, man alive. Oh, I mean, we were sending college kids up the app, Bible college students, flooding those areas, doing that. I mean, you're talking about 18, 19, 20, 21. What? Listen, safety is of the Lord. You know what, folks? By the way, that doesn't mean you don't use common sense. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you know what? We can't just fold our tents. We can't crawl in a hole and hide. Guess what? The Great Commission still needs to be carried out. And so we trust in the Lord while we do God's work. So number one, what do you do in this age of increased violence? Number one, trust in the Lord. Number two, guard your biblical right to keep and bear arms. It's a biblical right. It's a biblical right. I'm not going to reteach that. When I preached on 40 biggest issues of the past 40 years, I preached an entire message on our biblical right to keep and bear arms. I gave credit where credit due. I think you can go back in our bookstore and still find a booklet. I think we passed it out to every family during that time. Our biblical right to keep and bear arms. Folks, listen to me. This isn't just a constitutional right to keep and bear arms. We have a biblical right and obligation to keep and bear arms. Say, yeah, that's to me, it's not just standing up for America and our Constitution. That's standing up for the Word of God. I'm not going to give up my guns because, you know what? Look in the Bible, study it out, see what Jesus said. See what Jesus said about it. And you'll understand it. But listen, don't fall in with these people that are trying to decide that the way to make America safe is to disarm America. Don't get brainwashed by the media on that, okay? Trust in the Lord. Guard your biblical right to keep and bear arms. And I think that ought to be a right. By the way, that is a right, but it's also a responsibility. And you know what? You better use good sense. If you're going to carry a gun, you better know when and how. Listen, we don't need a bunch of young Christian cowboys out there. Okay, you remember, you pull that gun. You better understand what circumstances that you can, could and should pull that gun, and when to use it, when not to use it, because you know what? You can end up in jail. Okay, I mean, you take on that huge responsibility, but at the same time, I have a right to defend my family, and I have a right to defend myself. And so in this day of increased violence, you know what? I was told by the sheriff that 7 out of 10 people, adults in Greene County, have a carry and conceal, concealed permit. What do you call them? Yeah, personal protection. And so 7 out of 10 adults in Greene County. If you're going to rob a bank in Greene County, you don't have to worry about the police. You better worry about the customers, all right? I'll just tell you what I do. By the way, I believe in the Second Amendment because I believe it's supported on biblical principle. All right? I like just making some of you nervous, all right? So I'm going to keep talking about it for a few minutes. If I go to a business and they have it on their door that I'm not allowed to carry my gun in there, I won't do business there. I love what Top Gun did. Top Gun and put it on their website, start identifying all the businesses in Terre Haute, Indiana, that told you you couldn't exercise your Second Amendment rights in their establishment. By the way, they have a right to do that if it's privately owned, but I have a right not to do business there. You know, this whole thing about they got a right, they got a right. Yeah, I know, folks, but there's consequences to your rights. You want to kneel during the national anthem, then you shouldn't be employed in the NFL. If you lose your job, you shouldn't cry about it. Okay, yeah, you have a right to do it, but you don't have a right to determine what the consequences are going to be. Okay, you got a right to say, you know, insurance company here. We switched insurance companies 2 insurance companies ago. We were shopping around. One of them told me the only way we'd insure you if you made this your building, you'd have to post it on your doors that people can't carry arms in there. I said, that ain't happening. I'm not going to tell church members that they don't have constitutional rights. And besides that, it's not just a constitutional right, it's a biblical right. Now again, use your good sense. Okay, use your good sense. But I'm going to tell you, I feel a lot safer knowing that there's people that are responsibly armed in our church every single Sunday. I feel safer. I'm glad that I feel safer for our babies back there. I feel safer for our junior church out there. I feel safer for our primary church going on down there, that we have men that are trained and on patrol every single service to make sure that nothing. Listen, folks, I'd like to tell you that it's impossible for somebody to walk into this church, but it's happening all the time. It's happening all the time. The two places that it's being targeted are schools. By the way, don't tell me the demons of hell aren't behind this. It's demonic. Schools and churches are being targeted. Well, guess what? We have both here. Okay? And so we want to make sure that we guard the biblical right to keep and bear arms. Number 3, educate your children. Educate your children. First of all, the dangers of becoming insensitive to violence. And that's why I think we ought to take a look, folks. Well, come on, what have we got in the habit of watching? I'm going to probably do an entire week on Hollywood movies. But what have we just gotten too used to watching? Are we desensitizing ourselves and desensitizing our children to this matter of violence? Video games, I've already said it, but I'm going to blow the trumpet on it. Let's use good sense, use common sense. I don't play any video games. I guess there might be, you know, My Little Pony video game that you guys would want to, that wouldn't have violence in it or something like that. I don't know, Doc McStuffins games or something like that that maybe you can play. But I'm telling you, don't sit there and fool yourself into thinking that you can walk around in a video game and participate in murder and mayhem and violence, and it's not changing you neurologically. That's a word. But we're not just talking about educating our children and our wives about becoming insensitive to violence. You have to educate your family on the dangers of becoming a victim of violence. And let's talk, okay? Let's talk. I think every family ought to have a meeting. Dads, you're the ones that need to be the one, okay? One of the things that I say is God put into a man, because when God created Adam, he created him to keep the garden, not just to dress it. The Bible says dress and keep. Study that word out. That's a protective word. God has built it into man to have a protective nature. That's why we teach our young men, once they get to a certain age, you need to start being aware of your surroundings. We'll go on a teen trip. A lot of times back in the day when I was youth pastor, I'd meet with the boys separately before we go on a teen trip. We were going to be gone for several days. I'd say, gentlemen, I can't be everywhere and I can't be looking everywhere. As we stop at the different rest stops, as we go to the different restaurants, as we spend the nights in different places, your eyes have to be open. You have to be watching. You have to make sure that there's nothing going on. You have to be aware of who's around our young ladies. Be aware of who's following. Watch. But I'm going to tell you something. Wives and children need to be taught to assess danger. And one of the things that's hard for us, I don't know what it is about mankind, humankind, but it's almost like, folks, listen to me, God's given us a sixth sense when it comes to this thing. And ladies, let me say something to you. If you are going somewhere and there are red flags going up, there are alarm bells going off, you're walking towards a situation, what is it with Americans that we just can't do this? And that's what you do. If you're walking, I don't care if it's the mall, I don't care if it's a restaurant, I don't care if you're going to your car, well, I'm just going to my car, and there's a situation out by your car, turn around, go back in, get your cell phone out, call somebody. Call your husband. I don't feel safe going to the car. Something going, you know, maybe it's just me. Oh, that's just silly. I'd rather you be a little silly and safe than just say, oh, well, I'll just keep my eyes to the ground and hope nothing happens. Listen, I think God's created us with an alarm system. I think men, you better listen to that alarm system. I can't tell you how many times that thing's gone off in either my family or one of our teens or a situation. You know what? I think our alarm system's the Holy Spirit of God. For a Christian, that makes it pretty nice. And there's been a situation when I talked to our kids, took our kids, we were coming back and we stopped through St. Louis, and I actually had them stay in a motel downtown St. Louis, and I gave them I won't go into the whole story, but I gave them a big lecture about the do's and don'ts. And one of the things I told our kids, if we're walking in the city, we were walking down the arch, we were going to look at some places, I said, if I tell you to do something, you don't ask why. You do it. You do it, and do it immediately. Don't hesitate. Don't stop and look around. If I say to you, look over at two girls, say, walk right to me now. Listen, that's why teaching immediate obedience is important in a child. Okay? And I told them that because, I'm sorry, I spent a lot of time in inner city. I can't tell you how many times I have avoided a bad situation or saved somebody from a bad situation just because my antennas, they don't go down. They stay up. And it needs, men, we need to do that. Ladies, you can't just, and this is what my teenagers, you know, they get out of a car and they're doing this and they're just walking and they're paying nothing attention to anything around them. You know what? Why don't you just wear a shirt that says victim? All right, pay attention to what's going on around you. Pay attention. Train them to be aware of the surroundings. Train them to avoid places of violence. Crazy to me, all of these professional athletes that are getting thrown in jail for violent behavior, but they're going out late at night, 2 or 3 in the morning, hanging around at nightclubs and places that are known for violence. What do they think is going to happen? And then train them to defend themselves too. And now, also, let me give you one other thing. All right, we're controversial, so let's just go all the way. Okay, support the death penalty. Support the death penalty. And a man that doth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. Proverbs 28:17. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. In Genesis 9:1-6, God blessed Noah and his sons. Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon the beasts of the earth and upon the fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hands are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And, well, we've talked about a lot of things. But, folks, this idea of a deterrent against crime, and God's the one that set the idea of capital punishment in the Bible. And there is no conflict between one of the Ten Commandments that says, thou shalt not kill, and what God said here. There's no conflict whatsoever in that. You know what God said? I made you after my image. To kill another human being is to kill a creature that's made in the image of God with an eternal soul. And God said, if a man sheds that blood, his blood should be shed by man. And we need to support that. The more that people can do violence, and the more they're getting slapped on the wrist, spend maybe 6 months in jail, and go right back out and do it again, the more that this thing is getting out of control. And so there's a lot of things here, and I know I went past the technology, but every once in a while I feel, as a pastor, and honestly as a shepherd, just to sometimes blow a trumpet and talk to our people about real life stuff. We do have to be careful in this day and age. Ladies, listen to me. I'd love to be able to. Sometimes I sit down from time to time and just remind my wife, honey, I wish we lived in a world where I don't have to worry about it. I'm not someone going crazy. My wife goes to town by herself, but my wife has been trained to be very aware of her surroundings. And my wife has the capacity and the capability to use deadly force. And she also, I didn't realize after she was married, but she took judo when she was a teenage girl. Can you imagine my wife taking judo? I didn't believe it either. And then next thing I knew, I was on my back on the ground. And ever since then, I just say yes, ma'am, to anything she tells me to do. But I do believe, I mean this. I believe that young ladies, I believe young men should be taught self-defense. I believe that. I think that they ought to be taught how to properly carry the firearms. They ought to know that. They shouldn't be scared of them. They should be familiar enough with them not to be scared of them. They should have a great respect for them. But you know what? We're living in a day and age, folks, where, let me tell you, if you're not there to protect I'll just call 911. Well, it's over before. Listen, God bless our law enforcement. God bless. I think our county ends at Clay County, I guess, or Clay City, I'm not sure. You know what? You know who's responsible to protect my wife and who was responsible to protect my girls on my property while we lived there, while I still live there? That's right here. And if I'm not there, Mama needs to do it. And if I'm not there, the girls need to know how to do it. And, well, that's terrible. No, what's terrible is trespassing and violating and walking in a house uninvited. And you know what? Sorry. But in this day and age, you don't get a warning shot. Okay, you're in my house. You weren't invited to be there. I don't have time to talk to you and negotiate. The preacher, listener, I realized when I had a wife and three daughters in my home, there was one person stand between them and violence, and it was me. I used to tell our teenagers this. You know, we'd play games on each other and mess around. I told our teenage boys, listen, don't ever come out to my property at night thinking we'll pull one on the preacher or we'll sneak up and we'll knock on. I'm telling you, don't do it, because I'm the only person between my wife and daughter, and I'm not playing games. And by the way, you know what? That's called America. That's called America, okay? I want to go on. We need to be done. Heavenly Father, bless, Lord, and help us, dear God. We do live in a time of great wickedness, and because of that, violence is increasing. It's filling the land. And, Lord, we certainly need to have a biblical plan, a biblical response, a biblical mentality to these times. Help us to win people to Christ. Help us to disciple them. Lord, help us to turn the tide of wickedness through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.